Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 10. Familiar scripture probably to a lot of you, amen. Familiar to revival meetings, I'm sure. But verse number 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Let us pray. Father, as we bow before you again this evening, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for the service, Lord, you've allowed us to be a part of. Lord, we just thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We look forward. We look with expectation. Lord, we look, Lord, by faith to you to do in and through us this week, Lord, and to do that work that needs to be done in our hearts. Lord, we look to you to touch hearts of sinners. We trust that you will this week. We pray, God, that you would save old sinners like me. Lord, I thank you for saving me. And I know you're still saving folks. You're still in the saving business. Lord, and I pray that you would touch the hearts of sinners and save them this week. I pray, God, this evening, Lord, as we preach the message upon our heart, Lord, just for a little while, that you would touch our hearts, touch our mouths, touch our minds as we endeavor to do your will. We pray that you would speak into every heart, help each one as is needed tonight. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated and thank you for standing. I want to preach just a few minutes this evening. Amen. I would title the message out of verse number 11. And I want to preach on, do you know what the Lord thinks about you? Amen. Do you know what the Lord thinks about you? Do you know that the Lord does think about you? Amen. This is a wonderful verse for me. Amen. He did listen to the verse, and I'll start here in a minute, but in verse number 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." He didn't say, "I know your thoughts." He knows our thoughts. Amen. He knows that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, And he knows all these things, and I know he knows, but he said, "I know my thoughts," amen, towards you. And I know the context of the scripture here. Jeremiah is sent a letter unto the captives in Babylon, amen. God is chastising the nation of Israel for their idolatry and for their sin. And God is, by his good grace, amen, sent them a letter of encouragement. Amen. Ain't you glad God encourages us in chastisement? Ain't you glad God encourages us when we're in captivity? Amen. We ain't in captivity like they were, but we as the church, we get in spiritual captivity. Amen. Amen. But God sends us a good word. Amen. God sends us an encouraging word. Amen. And that's why he said, "I know." He said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." And then he tells us what they are. Now, anybody, the Bible says, if you're without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. And that is proof of our sonship. That is proof of our being in the family. God disciplines his children. Amen.
Right.
And so I believe I can go without preaching on that right there. But we see here when we're enduring chastisement, when we're in spiritual captivity, and that's part of chastisement, by the way. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when we say we're going to go this way, we're going to go the way we want to go, then God lets us. Amen.
Yeah.
God lets us go. Amen. God has never made me do anything. He's made me want to do some things, but He's never made me. He didn't make me be saved. He doesn't make me walk with Him. Amen. We're to walk with Him from our heart, from our desire. Amen. But anyway, I want us to look at this. He said, I know the thoughts towards you. When we're in that situation, what always comes to our mind, and it's just the way we're made up. It's the enemy telling us that God's mad at us. Amen. God hates us. God's through with us. Amen. Amen. Anybody ever been there? Amen. I've been there. Amen. I understand what he's writing here, but what an encouraging message that this must have been unto the children of Israel. Amen. Now, they was prophets, and I'm not going to read all of the context of this, but they was prophets over there in captivity with them. They was false prophets. God deals with that in this chapter. And they tell him, said, oh, you're going to be all right. God's going to deliver you tomorrow. God's going to let us go back soon. And God told him not to listen to them. Amen. And then he gives them this. He says, after 70 years. Amen. This was prophesied that it was going to take place before it took place. Now he's telling them, said, I've not changed my mind. Listen, if you're contemplating walking in your own way, God does not overlook, amen, our sin.
Right.
Amen. Amen. God, you know, sometimes as a parent, we overlook things. God don't overlook things. Amen. When we decide in our heart to not follow God, not do what God, there is consequences to that. There is discipline that comes in that.
Yeah.
Amen. And God does not, he is not like us. Amen. He told them 70 years, and 70 years they're going to stay in there. But during that time, he sent them this word. Amen. Under chastisement, under discipline of God because of their sin. Amen. And I know Israel is a different entity than the church. I mean, they're God's earthly people. We're God's spiritual people. I understand that tonight, but I believe we can apply this to us today. He said, I know thy thoughts that I think toward you, and here they are. He says, thus saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Now when I'm under the chastising hand of God, amen, it doesn't seem like it's of peace. Amen. Amen. It seemed like it's evil. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that no chastisement is joyous, but it's grievous. Amen. And that's what it's meant to be for. Amen. It is correction. It is to teach us. Amen. But here we have the Word of God, and we have that also in the book of Hebrews. I'm trying not to chase that rabbit this evening, but he said, I want you to know what God thinks about you. Amen. That his thoughts are not evil towards you. Whenever we find ourselves in captivity, whenever we find ourselves away from God, listen. God's thoughts towards you and God's desire towards you is that you come to Him. That you repent of your sins. That you be revived. Amen. That's God's will. Amen. For sinners, the Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. But then the saints of God, he's not willing, amen, for us to go into captivity. And he does not want us to stay in captivity. He wants us to come, amen, because his thoughts toward us, amen, his thoughts of peace and not of evil. Amen. I don't know about you. That helps me. Amen. That helps me to know that God, listen, when I mess up, amen. When I sin, when I go against God, amen. Amen. God doesn't quit loving me. Amen. God doesn't quit caring for me. Amen. God's thoughts towards me are always of peace. That's what he wants for his people. Amen. And so I want to try to preach on that just a little while, just for a little bit this evening. I'll try to be brief. I've got 4 points, and I probably might just preach 3 of them. But anyway, I want us to see in that God, what God thinks about us, and how that He worked in the nation of Israel, and He works the same way. Listen, I said here last time I preached here, I don't remember what it was now. It just the other day, whenever I preached here, I said this statement that God has not changed, amen, from the Old Testament to the New, as far as who He is, amen, and what He expects and what He desires, and I understand the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant and the time of the law and now under grace. I understand all that, but still God works, amen, the same way. So we can take what He has said unto the nation of Israel and apply it unto us in bringing us back unto God, because that's the gist of what He's saying here, is He's bringing God's people back unto God. Amen. We're God's people, are we not? We're God's people. Look what He says. He says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you." I want to say God's accomplishing something in your life. Amen. First of all, I want to talk about the heavenly purpose. Amen. There's a heavenly purpose for your life as a child of God. God's got a heavenly purpose for your life. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, He tells us that as children of God, He says we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Amen? Amen. That's what we, if you're saved by the grace of God, then God has predetermined, amen, that you are going to be conformed into the image of His dear. He's got a purpose for you. Amen. He's got a purpose for me. Amen. And God's people, amen, God has a purpose. God had a purpose for the nation of Israel. Amen. So we see a heavenly purpose here. He wants to accomplish something. And during this 70 years, He is going to accomplish something in their life. And whenever when He brings us, He doesn't bring us in captivity like He did the nation of Israel. Amen. When we walk away, we become in captivity to ourself and to the world. We come into captivity. And when we find ourselves in that, God's going to accomplish something in that. Amen. I've never been spiritually in captivity of what God didn't teach me a lesson.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And that's basically what He's doing in the nation. Yeah. He's teaching. Do you know after they came out of captivity, they had a lot of sin in their life, but they never went back into idolatry. Amen. And so God's going to accomplish something. He's got a heavenly purpose for our life. And listen, we can either walk with Him and allow Him to perform that in that, or He can perform that in chastisement. Amen.
Right.
But He says that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you. Amen. And perform. Amen. There's that word, perform my good word towards you in causing you to return unto this place. That's what revival's all about.
Amen.
Returning unto the place where we left God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what revival means. Revival is those that have know God, those that have met God. Revival's a good place for sinners to be saved. But revival is for the saints of God to get right with God and come back to the place where they have went into captivity. So look with me here. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. I was wanting to preach on this so bad this morning. The Lord had this on my heart. Amen. He had other things on my heart, and then He changed my heart this morning as I was getting ready and had me to preach something else. But this thought of an expected end. Do you know God, His thoughts toward you are toward an expected end? That word expected means means an outcome.
Amen.
Listen, it is something, listen, not that we expected. It is what he's expected. Amen. It is that conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to apply it to us today. He says to give you an expected end. We know to the Israel what he's talking about to Israel. He's talking about to eventually we know that he's working in them right now. When Jesus came, they rejected him. He's coming again, praise the Lord. And when they see him, they're going to receive him as he is, amen, receive him as their Messiah, amen. And that's the expected end that he's talking about right there,
right.
Amen. That's looking forward, amen. This took place hundreds of years ago, but it looks even forward, farther than where we are today, until the day that Jesus Christ steps his feet upon this earth and sets up his millennial kingdom, and his people, amen, the nation of Israel be born in a day. Amen. That's the expected end for them. Now we apply that to us today. We know he's got an expected end for us. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He's got an expected end for us.
Yes, sir.
And it's not evil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's of peace. It's of joy. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Amen. Let's turn over to I'll turn to a few scriptures and read these. A lot of things I could say about what our expected end is. The next expectation upon the horizon for the church. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, for the Lord himself, in verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there's what I want you to see, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our expected end. Amen. Amen. I'm not looking for an Antichrist. I'm not looking for the tribulation. Amen. I'm looking for the Christ to come back in the clouds one day and say, come up hither, amen, as he did in the book of Revelation. He says, come up hither, and immediately I will be with the Lord. And the Bible says I'll forever be with the Lord. There's no more, listen, there's no more earth, there's no more sin, there's no more flesh to be contended with, amen. Amen, that's our expected end. He says here in verse number 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. How can you skip? How can you turn away from our blessed hope and have comfort and peace? Amen. Amen. If God wasn't doing that, if God was going to send his bride through the tribulation, that's thoughts of evil.
Yeah, right.
He says to give us thoughts of peace, comfort. Amen.
Yeah.
Expected end. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. He's got an expected end. That's what the Lord thinks of you and I. That's what he's working toward. Amen.
Amen.
In our life. The Bible tells us, look, over in the book of 1 John chapter 3. I'll give you another and then I'll move on. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says in verse number 1, chapter 3 of 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Those thoughts of peace. You know what the Lord thinks of us? He loves us. Amen. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Amen. I'm a son of God now as much as I will be throughout all eternity. But looking at me and watching me, it doth not yet appear what I am or what I will be. It says, but we know that when he shall appear, amen, we shall be like him, amen, for we shall see him as he is, amen. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure, amen. That's our expected end. When we see him, listen, I've never seen him with my eyes. I've seen him by faith. I've seen him in the Word of God, amen. I see him in others, but I've never seen him face to face, but one day I will, amen. I'll see him. The Bible says when I see him, I'm going to be like him. That work, that expected end is going to be accomplished when I see my Lord and Savior. Amen. We need to understand there's a heavenly purpose in our life. Amen. Let me go on. The Bible says, "There." He says, I know thy thoughts, and I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, then. Now, then is, if you look back up in verse number 10, he said that after the 70 years, then, amen, then he says, then you shall call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Amen? Amen? And look what he says. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
Amen. All your heart. Now, the Lord just wouldn't let me get away from that verse as I thought about that. I thought about revival. And I thought, this is a revival verse. This is a returning to the Lord verse. This is returning to the Lord's scripture. Amen. It may be in context to Israel, but in context, it is revival. It is returning to the Lord. Whatever people you want to apply that to, amen, it is returning to the Lord. But there is a condition here. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me. Amen. What great promise there. But it was, he said, when ye shall search with me with what all your heart. Now that little word all there, it is the condition upon all of the scripture right there. One three-letter word, all, amen. He said, with all of your heart. Now, what that means, it means all. It doesn't mean part. It doesn't mean what you're willing to give. It means all, amen.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel, and the Lord has helped me to understand that in my own life, that is where I fail to find him many times is because that my heart is not all toward him. My heart is not all looking for him. My heart is all not all seeking him. Amen. Because part of it is looking into the things of what I want. Amen. Of what self wants. Listen, and that is the whole purpose behind God's in his chastisement, amen. Yeah. In his discipline of us, it is to rid us of self on the throne of our hearts. Because when self's on the throne of our hearts, that's when I get in trouble. That's when I go astray. That's when I seek the things that I want to do and my way, amen. And what I think should happen, amen. Listen. My ways and my thoughts, God tells me what they are. Amen. He says his ways and his thoughts are so much higher than mine. Amen. They're greater than mine. He knows more. He sees more. Amen. He knows what's needed and I don't. But I like to say, well, we need to do this. Amen. I need to do this. Amen. And when I begin to not give God all my heart, now I begin to hold back part of it. For whatever reason, listen, I'm just no me. But whatever reason you hold part of your heart back from God, it will keep you from returning to Him. It will keep you from revival. It will keep you from finding the Lord in your life. Amen. I know we're saved by God's grace. He said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. And that's true. He doesn't leave me and he never forsakes me. But I need to find the Lord, amen, on decisions I make. I need to find the Lord, amen, on the things that I do. I need the Lord's direction every day. Amen. And when the Lord allows me to go my way, amen, then I'm at the mercy, amen, of my own thoughts, my own ways. Amen. He lets me work those things out, and I make a mess of them. Amen. But his thoughts towards us is that he won't listen. He will not share your heart with you. He will not do that.
You're right.
Amen. We've lived in the day that we think that he will, but he won't. We've become satisfied with so much less than what we should have and should enjoy, amen, from the Lord. And we've become complacent in that, and we think, well, you know, this is all right, and I'm all right, and I'm saved by the grace of God, and I'm doing pretty much what I want. But look, what kind of power have you got with God? What kind of presence of God have you got in your life and in your worship and in your praise? See, there's a lot of things that we can imitate, but God's power and presence in our life, we can't do that. We can't imitate. I throw my hand up and I can call to praise the Lord every now and then. Amen. But God's power and presence produces something. Amen.
Right.
It produces. Listen, I believe there's some folks in here that know what I'm talking about. When I was lost, I seen some things in some saints of God. Amen. I seen some power. I seen some realness. I seen some truth. Amen.
Right.
I'd see them and hear them singing the praise of God. They wasn't performing. Amen. They was praising. And it was real, and it was something that the world and the imitators, amen, didn't have, amen. And it was that God used to draw me, amen, because I couldn't do that. I didn't have that. And listen, it was something that I desired, amen. I desired that realness, amen. Thank the Lord. But it takes all of our hearts. We need to see our heart's position. Need to understand God's heavenly purpose, that what he's doing in our life. We need to see our heart's position. Just where is your heart at? What's in your heart? Amen. Then verse 14, the first part of verse 14, he says, when we do that, he says, We begin to receive the help from the Lord that we need. And these first things he says, you'll do this, you'll pray, you'll seek me with all your heart. But then he says, when you do that, he said, then I. Amen. So that's the point we need to get to. Amen. I can't produce revival. I can't produce revival in my own heart. I can't even find God until I'm willing to allow him my whole heart. I can't even find God. I can't find God's will. I can't find God's presence. I can't find God in nothing if I don't give him all my heart.
Right.
That's all that I can do. And that's just being obedient to God.
Yeah.
That's not me working anything up. That's just me being obedient to God. And that's what I can do. I can give him my heart.
That's
and then
good.
He said, I will. Amen. That's when things start to change, when God says, I will do something.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
When I will do something. He said, I will be found of you. Bless his name. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't you glad that he can be found this evening?
Amen.
Amen. He can be found tonight. He can be found, amen, in your heart. He can be found in your life. He can be found in your decisions. Amen. He can be found. His will can be found for your life. Tonight,
amen.
If you'll seek him with your whole heart. He said, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. He said, I will turn away your captivity.
Amen.
Amen. That song just touched my heart. Amen. Nothing can compare the world, all the things of the world. Once you've tasted that God is good, once you've experienced the grace of God, once you have walked with him and he has led you and guided you, seen you through trials and temptations and just loved on you. Once you've experienced God, nothing else can compare. Amen.
Amen.
And he said, I'll turn away your captivity. Amen. Because we get in captivity and spiritually, the things of the world, and they get in our life. And hey, we're not satisfied with them. If you're a true child of God, you ain't satisfied with things of the world.
Amen.
God will put, the God of this world will put up the signs. He'll put up the billboards. He'll put on the commercials, amen, of what looks good, amen, what's enticing, amen, and make you think that you're gonna enjoy the things of the world, amen. But it's all a lie, amen. One preacher said, "The devil always." I believe it was Brother Adrian Rogers said this. I believe I've seen this on the podcast. He said, the devil always shows you the best first. Amen. But the Lord saves the best for last. Amen. The Lord told us as a child of God, we're gonna all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. But we're gonna live with him throughout all eternity. Amen. Amen. The devil wants you to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen, like he wanted Moses to do, and he put before Moses, and Moses chose, he said, to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's what the devil wants, amen. He can't have my soul, but he'd sure like to destroy my life, my testimony, my witness before this world. Amen. He would you too, amen. But he said, if you'll search for me and seek me with your whole heart, he said, I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity and I will gather you. Now he said here to the nation of Israel, I gather you from all nations. The church is scattered in all nations, but he will gather us to himself.
Amen.
That's the point that he's making here. Is gathering us unto him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what a crowd just this size right here that was all in for God and all gathered to the Lord,
yeah,
with their captivity turned and their heart all fixed upon God? Listen, nothing wavered. The Bible says a man that wavereth is double-minded and he's unstable in all of his way. But if we all come together, amen,
yeah,
for the purpose of God, and get revived and bring back to the place that we left God.
Amen.
What God would do, amen, with a group this size, amen. We receive his helping power, amen. He'll gather us together, amen, unto him. Then I'm through tonight looking at the last thought in the last part of verse 14. And we see we need to believe in his hopeful promise. He said in the latter part, he says, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Amen. He's telling them he's going to bring them back to Jerusalem, so he's telling them. Amen. We find that he did that later on, and we find that that is a further prophecy on down the road, even yet, that he's going to bring back the Jewish nations that scattered among the Jewish tribes scattered among the nations back into Jerusalem, amen, at the end, amen, when he comes back, amen. But look, as we apply this to ourselves, amen, tonight, he said, I'll bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. I'll bring you again back from where you left, basically what he's saying. Amen. We've all left at times. Amen. He writes unto the church of Ephesians in the book of Revelation. He writes unto them. He said, you've left your first love. Amen. He says to repent and return. Amen. We've all been there. If you're saved, you've been there. You know where that's at? That's back at that place where all your heart is toward him. Now, if you're saved, you, You may not have been saved where I was saved, or your experience may not have been exactly like my experience. But saved people, they come to the same place, amen, before they were saved. They came to the place that it did not matter. Nothing else mattered. I wasn't getting it done. I didn't matter anymore. My thoughts didn't matter. My reputation didn't matter. I thought I had a reputation, and I did have a reputation, but it wasn't a good one. Amen. But the devil still had me deceived and think if I stood up and if I went to the altar, amen, that everybody's going to look at me and laugh at me, amen. It's going to think I was a sinner. What about that? Amen. But when I came to the place, when I came to the place that it didn't matter anymore, it didn't matter who said what, didn't matter who was there, amen. It doesn't matter who's here tonight. Amen. It doesn't matter how many or how little's here. Amen. If God speaks to your heart, amen, you're lost in your sins, then this you must get to the place that doesn't matter anymore. Amen. Only thing that matters is coming to Jesus. Amen. Only thing that matters is being saved. Amen. Amen. Listen, the rich man in hell would give anything, would give all of his riches, would give all of his reputation.
Right.
Amen. If he could have one more chance to receive Christ as his Savior.
Right.
And everybody in hell's the same way. That's
right.
Where we've all been to. That's where we got to return. You remember when you said it doesn't matter? You remember when you turned loose to the beach and said, I'm going, Lord. Here I come. You remember that? That's the place he wants the child of God to get.
Yeah.
That's the place of revival. Amen. When nothing else matters. Amen. When it doesn't matter who sings what and what's sung, what's said, amen. Just listen, just be obedient to God.
Amen.
And what God wants is all that matters.
Amen.
Amen. This is what the Lord thinks about you. Amen. Things of peace, not of evil. Amen. Where are you at tonight? Where do you find yourself? Where's your heart? Do you understand God's heavenly purpose? Revival's not for a show. It's not for
right.
It's not for the beach walking and all that. That's not what revival's all about. That may happen. I mean, you may get happy. I mean, do that. And that if it's in the Lord, that's all right. But that's not what revival is. Revival's returning to the place where we live.
Right.
The place of our all toward God.
Yeah.
That is true. Right? That's the only time that an individual will be revived.
Yeah.
Is when God has all of our hearts. He is the King. The King don't share his throne with anybody.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm through preaching. You want to give them.